Our epistle for this Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. Brethren, when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things to come, he entered once for all through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, nor again by virtue of blood of goats and calves, but by the virtue of his own blood, into the holies, having attained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkled ashes of a heifer sanctify the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself unblemished unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And this is why he is mediator of a new covenant, that whereas a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the former covenant, they who have been called may receive eternal inheritance according to the promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, verses 46 through 59. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "Which of you will convict me of sin? If I speak to you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God." The Jews therefore, in answer, said to him, "Are we not right in saying that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and who judges. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keep my word, he will never taste death." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if anyone keep my word, he will never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you do not know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be like you, a liar. But I know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to thee, before Abraham came to be, I am." They therefore took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of from the temple. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. They who have been called may receive eternal inheritance according to the promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, last Sunday we talked about the Sermon of our Lord where he cried out, having experienced the darkness of mental, emotional, psychological depression, having experienced to the extent that he could experience a soul on the brink of hell, as the divine was silent within him, it prompted him to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But today, we're here to talk and to meditate on the fifth and sixth word of our Lord from the cross. It is important to consider our Lord's state. Remember, the divine was silent within him, and the human nature of Christ was the victim and the sacrifice. Having been drained and exhausted, and his body being misused and abused by the scourgings and the beatings, by the having to carry his cross up to Calvary, and having been physically exhausted, not eating since the night before, where he told his apostles after he had performed that great act of transubstantiation, instituting the mystery of our faith, the Eucharist, he told them, "I will no longer drink with you of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you with my Father in heaven." His hands and feet pierced. He hangs on the cross in all sort of hydration and nourishment, being drained and depleted. And doctors comment on this, of what would take place. There would be a burning from the very depths of the being of the person, causing a great thirst. But it says in Scripture, when our Lord said this, there was more than just the need for hydration. It says, "Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst." What does he mean? Well, if we take a look at the Psalms, we read how the prophecies of David found in the Psalms would be demonstrated in our Lord. In Psalm 21:16, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue hath cleaved to my jaws." And we also know from the Psalm 68, that our Lord knew what would take place. "And in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." St. Augustine comments on this. Why vinegar? How was this a completion of the prophecy, and what did it mean? St. Augustine says, "You have not yet done this. Give me that which you are of yourselves." That is, your perversity, full of acidity and bitterness. "Give me vinegar, therefore, and not wine." Our imperfect selves. Christ knew that we give him vinegar to drink. The symbolism, as he gives us himself under the appearance of bread and wine, he asks us to give of ourselves, imperfect that we are. Because that's what he thirsts for. He thirsts for you and he thirsts for me. He will not force himself upon anyone. He waits. He beckons. He calls upon us. "Is anyone thirsty among you? Let him come to me and I will refresh him. Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. My yoke is sweet, my burden is light." And he waits. Too many people play a game, just like the chosen people were playing a game when our Lord had appeared, and tried to make their own rules up, holding on to their own selfishness and pride. All they did was keep Christ at a distance, keep his grace at bay. No, but Christ did not come for the just, he came for the sinner. Having achieved the means of grace in order to convert, to change the heart of the sinner, in order so that they will turn away from sin and turn to him, if they want to. But that's up to the individual. It says in Scripture, "Now there was a vessel set there full of vinegar, and they putting a sponge full of vinegar about hyssop, put it to his mouth. Jesus therefore, when he had taken the vinegar, said, It is consummated." His sixth word. What does that mean? Means it's finished. I have done my Father's will. I have completed the task. My love is extended to the very last drops of my blood. I have performed the infinite sacrifice. I have built the bridge complete that crosses over that infinite canyon which has separated man from God. And now man is able to get to God. I have done the will of him who sent me. What a sermon, to do God's will. It is the only way for us to save our souls. That's why Christ taught us, when he taught the apostles to pray, and as we read in Scripture, and as we are reminded when we go to Mass, This is how you should pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is where our meditation becomes profound, where some people will not want to think about it. But it's important that we do think about it. Do I perform God's will in my day? Have I forgiven my enemies? Have I done good to those who hate me and persecute me? Have I approached myself or approached God of myself each day in all humility? Do I call upon Him daily with sincerity? And at the end of my day, do I kneel, as I'm sure you all pray your night prayers at night, do I kneel and say, it is consummated, it is complete. I've done your will today. I have strived to love you more perfectly today than I did yesterday, and I will try to do so more tomorrow than I do today. I have loved you in my neighbor. I have loved you in the very depth of my being. Remember what St. Augustine says about the heart of man. A heart were made for thee, O Lord, and they find no rest until they rest in thee. There is only one way to heaven, not many different ways. And any time that we think we can find a different way, we are only fooling ourselves. It needs a conformity of self with God's will. We have the lesson set before us by Christ Himself. He tells us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Him. That's the only way that we can become disciples of His, true disciples of His. Denying self means we need to let go of things that keeps God at bay. We need to do things in order so that we are fulfilling the commands of God. And it has to be a day in, day out effort. It is the fool who thinks that when life comes to the end, our time runs out, and we are on our deathbed, and each and every one of us will be on our deathbed one day, that we are going to be able to say with our Lord, it is consummated, it is finished. I have kept the course, I have kept the faith. If we don't do it daily, if we think that we're going to do it at that last moment, sure, there have been cases, special graces, but who can guarantee themselves? Especially you and I who have been given a plethora of graces throughout our lifetime. No, if we play games with God, there comes a point in time when, as He hid Himself from His own people, He will also hide Himself from us. In these last 2 weeks of Lent, my dear friends in Christ, let us consider these truths, these realities. Let us check our relationship with God. Let us not play the game of the fool and lie to ourselves and make up for ourselves our own truth. But let us seek after He who is the truth, sincerely, daily, and absolutely. These last 2 weeks of Lent, as we consider these things, let us also show ourselves grateful for what the good Lord has done for us, does for us. As we go to Mass today, He represents Himself. That sacrifice makes it available to us in order so that we can have part with that sacrifice. Let us show ourselves grateful, not just in word, but in deed and in truth as we go out in our day and reflect in our small way His example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.